Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Yay, we're very happy you can join us once again on what I'm sure is a beautiful Friday, wherever you're at, as you're tuning in. And I wanted to, as we normally do, proceed to remind you that just because you hear of a certain strategy or other comments involving the U.S. tax code, or perhaps we talk about some real estate news and we mention perhaps investing in multifamily or industrial or other classes of real estate assets, that you don't go run out and do it based on what you heard today. If you want to do it based on something you heard from somebody else, that's fine. But you have to understand what you're looking at, what the prospectus shows in terms of pro forma financial information, which means it may or may not happen, and you have to be qualified. And by the time you check all those boxes, you may or may not want to invest, but you need to understand what you're signing up for. And if you don't understand it, you could be in for some rough landings down the road, so to speak. And we recommend, as always, start with those that are fully aware of your current facts and circumstances in terms of your advisors to help you understand whether what you thought you heard was correct, and if so, and very importantly, how does it affect your current facts and circumstances. And for those of you that don't have current advisors, feel free to go to our websites, to go to the BAPlannerShow.com website. That's our radio show site. And you'll see that there are some forms right there on the home page. Let me get to that. And yes, right at the top, you'll see forms. One link over from the far right, and those forms will be some intake forms that if you'll fill out at least the first one there, the client profile, we'll be able to understand enough about your circumstances to where then we can entertain a call with you, and you can book that call or schedule that call at the link right next to the forms link, and we'll be happy to take a look at what you share with us and tell you how and if we might be able to help you achieve your goals and objectives. And no matter where you're at in life, there's a way to get started, and nothing happens until you take action. And so I'm not going to be your motivational coach, but I'll help you understand what you're signing up for if you can muster the courage to at least move forward to the inspection stage where you're taking a look at some transactions and perhaps get interested in a certain class of commercial real estate. Commercial real estate to us still is the low-hanging fruit when it comes to above average earnings, and I don't know of any other business that you can participate in as just a normal person. You don't have to be a private equity mogul or a hedge fund. Just as a normal lay person working a normal 8-to-5 job, you have the ability to participate at some level with many transactions that are out there that involve, in the case of most of our clients, they're investing with a group that's buying real estate, and multifamily properties tend to be the most common asset. But there are others, and I do consult with people that want to fix and flip. We consult with wholesalers. We offer QuickBooks accounting services that help specifically real estate investors, wholesalers, flippers get set up the way that you need to be set up to use that product. QuickBooks Online is one of the most widely used accounting apps out there, and I know I hear real estate gurus poo-poo QuickBooks and talk about how ill-fitted it is for real estate investors. And all I can tell you is, it's like many other things they opine on, they don't know. The reason they complain is they don't know how to use it. Just like some of the same people will tell you that you should cash out your retirement funds. You know, show the man. Go ahead and pay the tax, because you're going to make so much money being able to control your money that you won't miss 30 to 40% of your family's net worth, which is usually what your 401 or IRAs consist of. And they don't understand, or they don't want to acknowledge. Many of them do understand. I talk to real estate gurus all the time and explain that there's other options where you can control your money. You absolutely can control your money, and you don't have to pay 30 or 40% of your family's net worth into the IRS right now. You can defer that for a long time, if not indefinitely, and we'll let your kids and grandkids worry about paying the tax on much of that money. But, you know, it's like Red Adair used to say, the famous Houston oil well firefighter who's passed on now, but he had an expression that if you think the professionals are expensive, just try the amateurs. And I think every time I see another errant recommendation, especially involving taxes, because there's so many twists and turns in the tax code, and the answer is never the obvious. Whatever you think the answer is, likely it's going to be an exception or some crack you can crawl through to otherwise take advantage of more favorable treatment. But in any event, we have not been willing to undertake QuickBooks work for many of the people that have asked in the past, but we've realized now there's such an incredible need in the real estate investor community. And the problem is, to do the planning that we do, you have to have rock solid accounting. And if you don't have solid accounting, there's no amount of planning that's going to fix that as you move to the point in your activities where you have something to plan with. You actually have some activities that make sense to better protect them for your family, or to reposition them, or to otherwise, you know, be in a position to exploit the highest possible return from those assets. In any event, okay, let's see. Let's go ahead and turn to the news. I've got quite a few articles out on the BeAPlannerShow.com site. If you'll go to the Resources tab and under Resources, click the news link, and then that will take you to the page that I've uploaded more than a few articles under the current discussions, the red separator there. First article, I'm always interested in watching Mr. Grant Cardone. I know a lot of our listeners know who that is. He's for those of you that don't know, he's I'm gonna take some latitude here. He would be the equivalent of, for you old Beverly Hills fans, I'm Beverly Hillbilly fans. I used to love that show growing up as a kid, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old. He's a Jed Clampett, is what I'm going to call it, has made it big in real estate, if you believe him. I mean, Grant owns a lot of trophy assets. He owns a lot of apartment buildings, or I'd say he does. Actually, I misspoke on that. He's not a Jed Clampett. He's a Jethro Clampett. That's the one I meant to say. And in any event, Grant ostensibly is very successful. Again, if you believe him, I've got a couple clients that invested with him, and it wasn't at my recommendation, but hey, I enjoy being along for the ride. It's always interesting to watch a train wreck occur from time to time, and I don't know what all Mr. Cardone has on his plate, but I know that the people I know that have invested with him have not done so well, but he always manages to, you know, raise more money and undertake more projects that in turn provide more fees. He's got some of the highest fees in the business. He's a celebrity. You know, he's interviewed Donald Trump on some of his podcasts. And I noticed that there was an article on Fox Business. He's been making the rounds on the talk shows. He's got the gift of gab. There's no question. And he's got some great connections. But and you know, by the way, you can invest with him as well if you like for your lead partner, you know, your sponsor, etc., to buy a $65 million Gulfstream jets, things like that. Well, then he may be your guy. And don't ask me how it all adds up. I'm still trying to figure that out. And you know, he's got other videos out there about his, I think, $42 million beach house out in California. And, you know, he's got all the trappings of success. I've been around these real estate private partnership syndications for many years, 20 plus years now. And I'll just tell you, the average transaction I don't see has that much fat to it, where the lead partners I know are not, you know, flying around in $65 million aircraft and, you know, living in $40-plus million beach houses. But in any event, Cardone is a publicity hound, and he doesn't miss a chance to get on TV. And when the what hopefully will be a disastrous court decision, meaning it will get reversed, we hope, against Donald Trump this week in New York, Grant Cardone immediately made an announcement that he was abandoning his investing activity in New York, which I don't think he owns anything in New York. I think he's talked about it, and I think now that we're post court case, he's acting like, well, yeah, we were going to put $1 billion into New York this year and Chicago and Los Angeles, which I'm not sure what those venues had to do with the court case. I mean, I know generally they're blue cities and, you know, full of progressives, but he knew that before this court case. And so anyway, he's taking advantage of Mr. Trump's bad fortune, at least temporarily, to get his face on TV. And I just admire it. I mean, in a sense, it's amazing how Cardone is able, one, how he's able to get people, otherwise bright people, to continue to write him checks to invest in these transactions. And you can watch his videos. He's got hundreds, if not thousands, of videos out on YouTube. And every once in a while, I'll bookmark one just to think through it later and point it out like I'm getting ready to do. I'll tell you one reason I could never invest with the guy is he's on a video at one point talking about how when he buys an apartment building, he just tells the seller, "What do you want? I'll write you the check. I'll pay you whatever you want for it." And I understand that's not what really happens, but I also understand he's trying to tell us that he's so good, it doesn't matter, is what he's trying to say as to what he pays for something. He's going to find a way to make that property work over, get this, a 10-year period. He doesn't do anything where he's getting in and out in 3 or 4 years. No, it's a 10-year period, and there's a lot that can happen in 10 years, good and bad. And I guess to his way of thinking, if he can tie money up for 10 years, he's got a longer runway to figure out when to land that aircraft, okay, so to speak. But anyway, I just, again, I marvel at how he takes every opportunity to get his mug on TV. And I would tell you, invest with people that aren't on TV. That would be what I would recommend, because all too often the people that are throwing the confetti out the day before they close or the day after they close come back later with their tail between their legs when the interest rates go up, and now they're making cash calls, and you know, it's just a totally different ball game at that point. But anyway, it's foxbusiness.com article, and you'll, for what it's worth, read all the details. Let's see. Let's just go down the list here. The next article I have is an article about Hawaii talking about implementing a climate tax for tourists. This is crazy. This is like going to Henderson County out in Las Vegas and you having to pay more to golf on a golf course because you're not from Henderson County. Like they do here in Thailand. If you go to the zoos or you go to golf courses, you know, other entertainment venues, if you're not Thai, or if you don't have a Thai driver's license, thankfully I do, so I get the quote Thai price on everything. But if you don't, you pay, I don't know, anywhere from 30% to 50% more. And I love walking up to the ticket window on assorted venues, and they don't, maybe my wife is off to the side, they don't see her, and they think, oh boy, here comes a fat hog we're going to get to stick. And then I whip the Thai driver's license out on them, and you see the look change on their face. And in any event, I don't know. I've been to Hawaii twice. I thought it was nice, but the way I explain it, it's Costa Rica at three times the price, and there's other places in the world that are equally beautiful. Everybody's got to do it at least once. You know, if you've never been to Maui, you got to do Maui. I thought Honolulu was nicer for what I like to see than Maui, but I know I've got a couple clients there in Honolulu, and they think I'm nuts, but, you know, hey, it's just first impressions when I rolled in out there. But anyway, let's see. What's next on our list? Mortgage demand nosedives as interest rates cross back over 7%. And unfortunately, I think rates are going up. I read a couple more articles today, and boy, it doesn't look like there's any end in sight just yet. And I think everybody got their hopes up prematurely back in December. And, you know, the Fed governors have tried to warn people, but I tell you, it's making it tough for realtors to sell houses. It's making it hard for people that might sell to sell their house on two fronts. One, the buyer has to get a mortgage in most cases. And secondly, the seller has to find another place to live and get a mortgage. And so, in any event, they had a 2-month surge in mortgage applications that fell off sharply for the week ended February. Let's see, it was February 16th. They tumbled 10.6% for the week ended February 16. compared with a 2.3% drop the prior week. So not a good trend. And, you know, I saw, I don't think it's this article that I put out on our site. By the way, that's another Fox Business. I had a raft of Fox Business articles this week. They had some good reporting. But, you know, they talk about how, you know, interest rates seem to be so high, and yet I think they referenced 1995 as being a point where interest rates were at the levels they are now, or maybe it was the mortgage application volume. I can't remember. But I don't know. If you look historically, I've seen several data sources that claim were, you know, an average rate historically over many, many years is somewhere in the 7 to 7.5% range. And so we're right there. It's not high, it's not low, it's normal. It's just we haven't been at normal rates forever. And part of it's because the government has flooded the economy with money, with capital. You know, you go back to the debt malaise, and that the money that got pumped into the economy at that point has really never equilibrialized. And, you know, then you look at what happened with the pandemic, and you got all this cash sloshing around in the economy, and, you know, it's only recently that the Fed has started to tighten. And so now most economists expect the cuts in interest rates might be pushed out to May or June amid signs that inflation remains abnormally high. I'll say it does. And I don't think it necessarily is going to dissipate much between now and May and June even. I think it's going to be longer. But who knows? I'm not an economist, and I'm certainly not in the mortgage lending business, and don't fully understand all the pressures and stresses that lenders face, but in any event. Well, let's do this. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we shall return momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at nprross.com, Nathan at nprross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
The song Big dreams and faded dreams.
Okay, welcome back to the second half of the Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I want to go to the next article on our list. Let's see. The National Debt Tracker. I've started adding the article each week that's on Fox Business. They pull out each week the National Debt Tracker. It's coming off the same site that we've talked about many times on the air, the U.S. Debt Clock. But if you'll notice, let's see, when did I think I did it last week for the first time, the 15th. Let me see, do we go back past that? I don't think so. So I'll continue to do that. It's a little bit more informative, perhaps, than hearing me bloviate, as the case may be, about just looking at the U.S. Debt Clock site raw. But in any event, if let's see, if we go to that article, let me see if I can find it here. Yeah, here it is. Let's see, it's climbing. The national debt is climbing at an astronomical pace and has shown no signs of slowing down despite the heightened scrutiny on government spending. Well, most of the scrutiny on government spending, at least when you get into the Congress, the group, you know, that's doing all the spending, I have a pretty good suspicion it's nothing more than a facade. It's fake scrutiny. It's what it is. It's not real. And otherwise, I don't know how you could go to sleep at night if you were part of that group that's arguing right now. You know, we've got, I think it's a deadline of March. I believe there's two, if I recall correctly, that on the deal that was struck involving the budget that should have been done 6 months ago. We keep pushing it off. We actually may get a budget this year. First time since 1996 that it won't just be a continuing resolution, which is nothing more than, okay, folks, we agree we're going to spend this much money again without giving it the legal formality of a budget that's codified, I guess, into some part of the law. But in any event, there's still, I believe, 4 out of the 12 appropriation bills that have to be wrapped up, and of course the clock is ticking. You know, and I forget which of the 4 have to be done by the 1st and which ones have until, I believe it's the 8th. So there's 2 different deadlines, and it's just, it's amazing. But anyway, after the dust settles on that process, assuming it comes to a completion based on what they've already haggled over, you're looking at a $1.7 trillion deficit for the current fiscal year. That would be FY 24 ending in September of this year. And it's crazy when you look at where we're headed. And I was just looking for the article from last week. Let me see if I can find that handily enough here. Let's see. Here it is. It was a update to the Congressional Budget Office's 10-year forecast pushing us out to 2024. And these numbers will turn your stomach, or they should. They talk about the deficit will grow from an annual 1.6 trillion. They're calling the current year 1.6 year, which I think it's, I'm pretty sure 1.7 is the real number. There's this particular article, or maybe it's CBO themselves. They didn't count something. I can't remember what it was. It may have been the child tax credit cost, which that did not pass. So I guess maybe it is 1.6 trillion. But whatever it is, what's a tenth of $1 trillion just between us friends, right? We can act like it is. But in any event, so by the year 2034, the annual deficit will be $2.6 trillion, and the national debt will rise to 116% of the size of the entire U.S. economy, according to CBO. And CBO is not very aggressive when it comes to calling it in a conservative fashion. So I would suggest to you, some economists are saying that we're already at the 135% mark now, as of the end of last year, of the entire U.S. economy. But more striking, let's see here, where was the number? As a percentage of GDP, it says after 2008, the deficits climb as a percentage of GDP, returning to 6.1% in 2034. And that's relative to the GDP. Since the Great Depression, deficits have exceeded that level only during and shortly after World War II. The 2007 and 2009 financial crisis and the coronavirus pandemic. So there's only been three spots in our history where percentage-wise we got up to that portion of GDP. For comparison, the budget deficit increased by $205 billion to $984 billion in fiscal year 2019 prior to the COVID pandemic. So we weren't over the $1 trillion mark. We were under $1 trillion. $1 trillion, I know it goes without saying, that's a lot of money. And I understand inflation has caused some of that, but the reality is it's all intertwined, and it's insane. Where do we think the repayment is going to come from? I mean, unless there's some magic button to push to double or triple our GDP so that we collect more tax dollars, it's just not. I mean, it boggles the mind as to how we think we're going to pay that back. So, anyway, excuse me. Let's see. Well, it's a policymaker issue. We can call it what we want. It's not more taxes necessarily. It's also not necessarily stopping our foreign aid. It could be a combination of many things, but it's systemic policy changes, as we say, week in and week out. Okay, let's go back. Enough deviation to last week's article. Let's go back here to let's see, Illinois. This was just something I noticed that I thought, okay, this is, if they're putting the truth out, this is a good start. Maybe when you talk about systemic policy changes, how about let's see, where's my Where is my article? How about Illinois? The state of Illinois launches website to track taxpayer spending on migrants. And, you know, this, again, you just want to shake your head. It's like, you know, if it's just sad that this is what our economy is saddled with. And migrants who live in the sanctuary city of Chicago need to be fed, clothed, and housed, all of which incur costs paid for by taxpayers. They don't mention medical and education. They got to be educated and they got to be kept healthy. Those are two other major expenditures. But Illinois Comptroller Susanna Mendoza says the public needs to be aware of these expenses, which she argues should be footed by the federal government. Okay, well, that's more or less going to involve some of the same people having to make payments. And frankly, if you want to be a sanctuary city, I'd say we'll let y'all cover those expenses for the people that you take in. And I don't know. I don't know about you, but I don't really want I don't want there to be sanctuary cities, because I want to go back to the policies of old, where we have a process, an orderly process, for allowing migrants to come to the U.S. And if we're overwhelmed, we temporarily shut the border off, right? We don't just keep letting people come in that we have no accountability for, don't know where they're at, don't know when their asylum trial dates are. It's no way to run a country's borders. And I shake my head. And it's, you know, maybe if you're in America and you don't see how the rest of the world operates and you just assume, oh, this must be normal. No, it's not. You don't go, most countries, you go nowhere without producing a passport to show that you're supposed to be here or you're able to be here. And by the way, the U.S. passport is like the most exclusive membership in the world. It's the club everybody wants to be in. And when you think of all the countries that you can go visit for 30 days or so with the U.S. passport, it's just striking. It's, I don't know, 200 maybe or 180. I forget the number. My son had pointed it out to me recently because I'd told him that I know, you know, you want to be Thai. You know, these mixed marriages produce the 50-50 offspring. And one of my friends over here told me years ago that, you know, you just wait. Your son will want to be Thai until he gets through middle school, and then he'll want to be American. And sure enough, my son came up to me about 6 months ago and says, Papa, do you know how many countries I can go to with my U.S. passport? Because, you know, some of his friends are trying to come to America now to go to high school, and it's not easy. It's not easy getting there, and we know it's not easy being there. And, you know, you got to wear your helmet and your bulletproof vest on top of all that. And, you know, it's hard for the Thai to fathom just what we've morphed into, because they all think America's the nirvana. It's the land of milk and honey, you know. And but anyway, my son was shocked to realize the value of that passport. And I said, yep. I said, Papa's been trying to tell you that. So now maybe you understand, and you've already got it. You didn't have to do anything. Your poor friends are doing everything they can to get into America. But anyway, so I think this is a good idea. I don't know if this comptroller, she must be Republican. That's all I can imagine. I can't imagine the Dems would want this kind of information splashed out there where all the state citizenry can see it. Maybe not, though. I don't know. But doesn't really say in the article. But I tell you what, they're spending a lot of money. It's a lot of money going out to the migrants. And, gee, it looks like easily $500 million if you add up the spending that's taken place over the last few years. That's crazy. And they only had 35,000 migrants transported to Chicago over the past year and a half. It's, I don't know, what is that, less than a week of what we get in the along the Texas border? But anyway, okay, let's do this. Let's go ahead and take another break. We were so late on the first one. I'll go ahead and make up for it here. Let's take another break, and we'll be right back with the last segment here momentarily.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. But I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make the
okay, welcome back to the final portion of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And the next article I wanted to talk about is the nasty tax shock that some folks might run into in 2024. And let me pull this up. You know, it involves those of us that need to make quarterly estimated payments or estimated tax payments at all. You may not necessarily do it quarterly, but bottom line is the interest rate, if you don't make those payments timely, has almost tripled from that of 2 or 3 years ago. It's gradually increased as inflation has been responsible in large measure for other interest rates, mortgage lending, Fed funds rates, et cetera, all going up. You know, the underpayment rate for more than a few years was 3% per annum. Now it's 8. Big difference. And for those of you that are self-employed, you understand, presumably, you're working with an accountant that's explained to you this change in the rates, because it's taken the estimated tax scenario that we consult with our clients about from the point that I would tell you at 3%, why bother? Why not just wait and pay the tax you owe in April each year when you file an extension, as opposed to worrying about paying a quarterly? It cost you more to have me figure out what you owe than what a 3% interest rate is going to cost you on not having enough paid in. And by the way, that underpayment of estimated tax, they call it a penalty. It's not a penalty in the true sense of the word. It is like interest on a loan. There is no penalty component if we're talking about the payment that gets made by April the 15th each year. Now, if you go past April the 15th, then there is a late payment penalty plus an interest rate that applies. But in any event, you know, for those that have to pay this, it's very simple. If you make more than 8 now, if you make, it was 3%, if you made more than 3% on your money, why would you bother liquidating whatever it was in, making more than 3% to pay the IRS? That payment is something that, yes, it's mandatory that you pay taxes, but the penalty for not paying them was to add 3% in interest to the amount that you ultimately have to remit. Not a bad deal. Well, now it's 8%, and some of you might still be able to use the same logic. If you've got your money in an investment that's making 12%, well, why would you pull it out to go pay the tax until you absolutely have to, right? So it still makes sense to consider that. But this article is written from the standpoint that nobody, I guess, is making more than 8% in their investments. This is on Fox Business. I don't know what that says about Cavuto and Charles Payne and some of those guys, that they would, I know they didn't write this article, but you would think somebody would look at this stuff and try to counterbalance the fear and paranoia that they're trying to convey. But anyway, if you need help with that, understanding that, understanding what your risks are, et cetera, feel free to give me a call or go fill out the intake forms out at baplannershow.com. And once I have a little bit of data, I can help you assess what you might want to do in that regard. Let's see. We've got about 4 minutes left. Let's turn to the last article for this week. It's how you can pay 0% tax rate on capital gains. And I would suggest that many of our listeners, and certainly some of my clients, do not understand that you actually can have a pretty hefty capital gain before you're going to owe any tax, assuming you're not a big income earner otherwise. And for 2024 tax filing season, so that would be your 2023 returns, well, let's see. Let me preface this by saying that there are three, currently, there are three income-based tax brackets on long-term capital gains: 0%, 15%, and 20%, as well as the 3.8% Medicare surcharge that's imposed on the wealthiest Americans. And it doesn't take as much as you might think for that to kick in. I believe married filing joint is somewhere in the 250 range, maybe. I've forgotten. That's what we have computers for. It's easier to review it than it is to calculate it manually. But anyway, it's up the income chart from a lot of folks. But so for 2024, the zero rate on long-term capital gains, which, as you may recall, is any asset held for longer than a year, can be applied to taxable income of $44,625 or less for single filers and $89,250 or less for married couples filing jointly. Well, that's the general rule. It's not the answer we like, though, because the income limits are really higher than what they may appear. And the reason is because the zero tax rate, or whatever the rate is in your case, is based on an individual's taxable income, taxable being the operative word, which is calculated by subtracting the standard deduction, or a total of itemized deductions, whichever is greater, from your adjusted gross income. In 2023, the standard deduction is $13,850. For single filers, $27,700 for joint filers. So you've actually got that much more in income that can be earned. So that would mean $58,475 for individuals and $116,950 for married couples. And that's assuming they don't have more standard deductions that would allow them to itemize. So think about that. That's, $116,000 or $117,000, and you could still be paying 0% tax if part of that $117,000 came from capital gain. Anyway, there are some more limitations and details. I'm not going to get into them for lack of time here, but go pull the article and nice examples. It's a fairly easy read, and you'll be the wiser for it. Well, we're coming up to the end of the show here. Appreciate you tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it, as always. And we will be back on the air Sunday morning, 7 a.m. And then here in 2 weeks, we'll be on our news time slot at 2 p.m. Thursday. So we'll have a Thursday show, a Friday show, and a Sunday show. So thanks once again for tuning in, and we look forward to the next time. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.